How then do you diagnose Fabry's, especially in an older individual in whom the classic manifestations in childhood are not apparent?
Well, certainly you have to look at the family history to see if there's this pattern of X-linked inheritance of a cardiomyopathy in a family that remains unexplained.
What's a cardiomyopathy?
That is injury to the heart where the heart no longer functions normally. The pumping of the heart is impaired.
The muscle no longer is able to contract like it should.
Correct.
What about other organs? How do you detect it there?
The best way to detect it in organs is with biopsy, but we rarely have to do this because we can often make the diagnosis with blood or genetic testing.
What kind of tests are there?
So there's an enzyme that we can measure in the blood. You can actually measure alpha-galactosidase A, and that's what we use to diagnose the disease in men. A level less than 3% essentially makes the diagnosis. Now, you have milder forms where the enzyme levels vary between about 3 and 35%. And in males, that merits genetic testing. Now, it turns out in females that measuring the enzyme level in the blood is not sufficient to make a diagnosis. And in those cases, you actually have to do genetic testing.
Are we now past the era when one has to do a biopsy, for example, kidney biopsy, to determine whether a patient has Fabry's disease?
Well, there are, in rare circumstances, patients who may have a borderline low enzyme level activity where there is kidney disease that's otherwise unexplained, where you may want to consider doing a renal biopsy.
How often does a biopsy now need to happen when compared to, for example, 10 or 15 years ago?
I would say it's quite rare. I can't put a number on it, but I've not had to do this in my clinical experience.
Because the enzyme testing and genetic testing is now so good.
That's right.
How then does one treat Fabry's disease of all kinds?
So the cornerstone of therapy is enzyme replacement therapy, and this became available in the U.S. in 2003. It was available in Europe in 2001. Now, it's not cheap and it's not convenient. It requires an infusion intravenously every 2 weeks.
Wow. And we're going to talk more about that enzyme replacement therapy in a subsequent podcast.